Joe Biden, and you're listening to Legit Bat Podcast. And now your hosts, Jim, Jan, and Bland.
Welcome back to Legit Bat and Wicked Planet. Legit Wicked Planet Bat. Buddy Ron here from New England. Everybody knows him if you listen to the show. And another one of the cool people we got to meet back in February in person. He got me so fucked up drunk on tequila that I was like irpy, like genuinely irpy. And it's funny because you actually caught us, Ron, in the middle of like a 4-day bender. So we were already drunk the two previous days, the 2 days after. So it was all a big blur. I damn near blacked out the day we met you. And I was hungover for about 4.5 days when we got back to our our home. So thanks for that. Appreciate it. And I thought I could drink anyone under the table, but Ron proved me wrong. He's old school Bostonian. Anyway, I'm Joe. Jen cannot be here today, and neither can Ben. So that's, you know, it happens every once in a while. So it's just me and Ron today, hanging out old school, like old pals. But if anybody hasn't heard of you, Ron, I'm not going to give the Buckley intro because I don't do that. But so you can do your own intro. It'll be a new thing for you.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's Ron from New England from the Wicked Planet Podcast.
I feel like I should have it. Oh, hang on. There we go.
Short and sweet. Yeah. Joe, in your defense, excuse me. I'm very hard to keep up with when it comes to tequila. I've had many casualties of people that have tried to do that in the past. I'm just really good at it. I've got a lot of years of experience, and you and Jen had a head start. I could tell when I got there. So it's
all good. Quite a bit by like 2 days. It was a wedding. Like, what do you want? I mean, that's all we were doing was drinking, and we didn't have to drive or anything. So it was balls to the wall. But and not to mention, I don't drink hard liquor like ever. The only time I do is if a buddy brings over some Johnny Walker, I will sip on that. But as far as taking shots at tequila, those days are behind me, dude. I don't know how are you alive?
I don't know. You know, just over the years, I've built up a pretty good tolerance to it as all. And you know, and the secret, Joe, is you got to drink the good stuff, right?
Oh, for sure.
But because that was nothing for me, and it was really cool meeting up with you and Jen, and it was really cool that we actually went to a friend of mine's bar.
Yeah.
because he's a great host.
Yeah, he was like, awesome.
Yeah, like I told you, when I was on my way down, because he knew, you know, what was gonna go on. Like, I hadn't talked to him for like a week.
Oh, wow.
And his name is, well, his Americanized name is Gilbert, right? And so I was down to the local watering hole that he also owns because, you know, we're talking about 90 miles difference here, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so I told him, I said, hey, I'm meeting some friends of mine from California. I'm told them to just meet me at your place down in Salem. They're going to be in Peabody, which is right next door. He goes, oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, I'll make sure I'm there. And that was it. That's all I said. He goes, what day? I said, Saturday. He goes, okay, cool. So I didn't talk to him all week. And, you know, when he bounces back and forth, he's got 3 restaurants, right? And so I'm driving towards Salem, Mass, because we have a Salem in New Hampshire as well. And so I don't know, I'm about 10 or 15 minutes out. And I get a call from him. He goes, where are you? I said, well, I'm on 128 and it's bumping up in traffic. So I'm trying to get there, you know, as soon as I can. He's like, oh, okay, cool. I'll be here. I said, my friends are probably there. You know, you can walk around and see if you, you know, recognize somebody that you don't recognize, you know, and I might be them.
Do you see 2 little California hobbits in there? That's them.
So anyways, so it was cool. Yeah, I had a good time. And, you know, Joe, I probably should understand that not everybody in the world drinks tequila.
They do
you
not.
Know, I just assume because up here in New England, like, almost, you know, and I'm not speaking for everybody, obviously, but almost everybody you run into is definitely up for drinking tequila.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd think that would be more of a Southwest type of thing, not a Northeast, but
I don't know. Everybody I know drinks tequila, and it was really cool because he had brought us out some food, you know, kind of, it was good. Gave us a tour of the place.
Yeah, it was awesome. The thing with tequila that I have a problem with is that when I, in my younger days, you know, when you thought getting a bottle of Jose Cuervo was the move, I can't do that smell at all anymore. It does not work for me. I will get instantly drunk and hungover and barf if I smell Cuervo. But anything good, like the one you got, like Patron Silver and above is what I always say. So that I can handle, but it's still, it's got that taste to it, and it's just, ugh. But it's not bad, though. I mean, I think my mistake was that one night we got a bottle of Cuervo and then got what we thought was margarita mixer, but it was actually margarita mix with Cuervo already in it. Mm-hmm. And we're mixing them one-to-one, thinking that it was, you know, oh, we're diluting it. No, and I think that's what happened. It really just traumatized me for tequila for like the rest of my life. But I'll and again for a friend.
That's a bad mistake.
Yeah. Well, I was probably like 18 or 19. So I wasn't exactly, you know, as full of wisdom as I am now with drinking fucking Cuervo. But
well, don't we all have those stories, Joe?
Oh,
I mean, with you, it was Cuervo. With me, it was a Canadian rock gut whiskey. You know, in New England, we get Canadian whiskeys here that probably don't go to other parts of the country because, you know, Quebec is, you know, 4 hours from here, 3 hours from here.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we get all kinds of random like Canadian whiskeys. And there was one in particular, and I was probably 16 or 17. We're at a party at a friend of mine's house in town here. And a buddy of mine said, oh, I'm going to bring a bottle of whiskey. And I'm like, okay, cool. So, you know, I brought, I don't know, a 12-pack of beer or whatever, maybe a 30-pack, who knows. And
getting crazy.
Yeah, well, it was a pretty big party. So anyway, so he brings out this whiskey, and I want to say it was Canadian Mist, it was called.
Ooh.
So already, you know, it's kind of suspect, but, you know, you're kids, you don't care. So him and I drank that whole bottle, plus a few beers. Ooh. I was so sick, dude.
Like the next day or the night of or the next day?
No, next day. Yeah, oh, okay. Next day. And I, to this day, I don't care if it's Maker's Mark, Jim Beam. My dad was a Jim Beam guy, Jack Daniels, anything like that. If I just smell it, I'm like gagging. But
I'm surprised I didn't wreck myself on whiskey because that was all I drank for a while.
You know, what's weird though, is like the tequila. I think what we had, we were drinking Hornitos Black. We were doing shots of Hornitos Black, and that's kind of like my drink. I like that. And what's weird about it, it's like tequila aged in used whiskey barrels, and I have no problem drinking that or smelling that.
I think the agave just takes over.
Yeah. I don't know. I like that stuff. But,
now,
it was
awesome. Like, and if people want to, like every time we go somewhere other than where we live in the country, we always hit everybody up to, you know, anybody want to meet up? Doesn't have to be crazy. Doesn't have to be, you know, organized. Just show up and have a beer, say hey. And it's super cool. I mean, we've met so many people over the last 4 years that I would have never known if we didn't do this. So it's fucking cool to meet everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had known each other, you know, through podcasting for like, what, 3 years. So, I mean, it was time. Right.
Yeah,
it was time for us to meet up for sure.
Way overdue. I mean, we cut our teeth on you and Ryan and, you know, that whole gang. And I still want to meet Matt from The Great Deception, but he's a busy motherfucker these days. So
he is. But it'll happen. Yeah. Yeah. Now Matt's moving down south. So I don't know. You know, we're all going to have to travel that time.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't mind that, though, taking a trip to like Florida or something like that and, you know, hanging out with everybody down there.
Yeah, I think Matt's moving to the Carolinas. I talked to him the other day just to shoot the shit, get caught up with him, see how he was doing. Great Deception's not going away. He's just on hiatus from it. So that's good. And but Matt's got a lot on his plate right now. So we get it, right? I mean, I've had a lot on my plate for the last month or so. That's why my shows have been kind of sporadic. Buckley's been on what he calls his hiatus, which means I don't know if he's coming back or not. And Kristen, she's been showing up pretty regular, so that's good. We're going to do our regular show actually tomorrow. The last couple of Wednesday nights I had scheduling issues with little G because, you know, it's getting towards the end of the school year and she has these little extracurricular things after school that she's been doing, so it's been taking up some of my time. But I will let the Wicked Planet listeners know that I have 3 episodes already recorded. Tomorrow will be a 4th episode, and I got a guy coming in next week. So I have plenty of stuff in the pipeline. I just got to take the time to sit down, finish the editing, put the shows together. And that's something, you know, a lot of listeners need to understand. Like, just sitting here recording a show, like, that's the easy part.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the fun part.
So then you have the editing process. And then once it's edited, then you're going to add all your music, or if you're going to use music, or your intro or whatever.
Well, are you guys doing video? Because that's a whole extra step I added that takes an extra 2 hours every show.
We're not doing video yet. I really, it's a question of time, Joe. It's a question of time, and it's a question of the space. Yep. Now, I have lots of room here, but in New England, we're just coming off of a late spring, right? So it's just barely getting warm here now. And in the wintertime, we stuff all our bays. Like, our bays are absolutely full. I've got one bay, our main bay fits four vehicles, plus we have a spray booth. We have a side bay that fits two vehicles. We have another side bay that takes another two vehicles. So I'm going to be either taking over the spray booth and revamping one of the bays and putting my body guy over there. I don't know yet. So the studio to go visual will be at the Haunted Garage. I just got to go through the whole logistics of just doing that, right? And not only that, the time and the money that it's going to take to even build the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't make any money on Wicked Planet. Not yet. Yeah. You know, hopefully someday would be nice, you know, maybe get a Patreon or something like that, but I just haven't pulled the trigger on that, and it is what it is. But
now, you know, the Patreon, that's a whole other, we started with a Patreon and it was too much work for the return, and it was like, you know what, I don't care, this is a hobby and I'm making it into a job. So when it stops being fun, that's when I'm like, I gotta pull back a little bit. But the visual aspect is going to be real fun to go for. When you start that, let me know, and I'll help you and let you know what I know about this, which is mainly nothing, but I do know how to upload to YouTube and Rockfin, so that I can tell you how to do that. But so yeah, well,
I'll appreciate that. I do have a couple of customers that are kind of in video production. That's what they do.
Oh, we'll talk to them then. Fuck me.
Well, no, I've been talking to them, and we had one of our listeners donate a fantastic camera. So we have that. We need to get, I think, one more camera, possibly two more cameras. I have been slowly acquiring the equipment to do it.
Nice.
You know, and once we go visual, of course, like you say, that's a whole new animal, right? So
it'll change your show too. It's weird. It will change it a little bit just because, you know, you're on camera. Luckily, we kind of started out doing video like 6 months in, so it's been the same for a while, but it definitely changed it because I'm like, I can't just go and edit stuff out now. Like, if I say the N-word, it's just kind of there. I mean, I could edit it out, but I'm not gonna. So
yeah, you know, the thing is, what's, and Ryan and I have talked about this too. It would be really cool to get hooked up with Ryan and you and Jen and Matt and all of us together. And I haven't talked to Ryan in quite a few months. I was actually going to give him a call the other day just to get caught up with him. But going visual adds a whole new dynamic, right? Because now you can have guests come on and do their presentations. Like Brandon, yep. Kroll, Brandon Kroll, for instance, he's another New Englander. He's doing very well. He was having a lot of trouble in the beginning. So him and I would get together. I would send him a Zoom link. We would go and I'd get him set up with his Rodecaster, get him all up and running, rocking and rolling. And he does like fantastic presentations, but yeah, it doesn't work on an audio podcast only, right? So you got to go visual. So in order for things to change, and like you say, going visual does change things. Well, Wicked Planet is going through an evolution anyways. You know, after 3 years, I mean, you have to kind of evolve, right? Like, you got to take it like slowly to the next level, you know, and I've got a buddy of mine, a childhood friend that's a big rock and roller. He's got a very, very popular band here. They play out every weekend. They've got, I want to say, just booked for this summer, they have about 60 or 70 gigs already booked this summer. Very, very
decent.
Very wow. Popular band. And he's working on some riffs for me for some, just to add a little bit of new nuance to the show, maybe some new music. I want to work on kind of a new intro. So I've got some really good ideas for that. Kind of just going to crack people up, actually. But yeah, so when we do make that jump, I feel as though it'll be a good thing, but again, it'll be another learning process. And I mean, it's just like how you helped me out when I was starting out. I mean, when I first got into podcasting, I was on with Ryan all the time. And then that's how I met you. And then you and Jen and Ben, and then I would go on with you and so on and so forth. But then when I started my own show, like, I didn't know anything about like virtual mixers, you know, before I bought a Rodecaster, you know, and that really, the virtual mixers are a pain in the ass, like big time. So
I'm still using one.
Yeah. And I mean, and it worked, we figured it out. But I mean, once you go Rodecaster, dude, you don't go back.
I've heard that from so many people, Ghost from My Third Eye and a bunch of other people, Kyle from Big Dumb Podcast. I've heard that, and I do want to get one at some point, and that will probably be the next evolution of this, is getting a real setup. But until we can actually build a studio, like, this is not a studio, this is my fucking kid's room. Like, until we can actually build a space just for the podcast, I'm not going to even worry about that. It works. I'm not going to fix what's not broken till it breaks.
Oh, no. No, I agree. And not only that, it's $1,000 investment.
Right.
Right. Which is not chump change. Right. So you got to buy the mixer, and then the mixer takes altogether different mics than what you're using now. You have to change from USB mics to XLR mics.
And no. Then mine are actually XLR. So I can actually get a Rodecaster and plug these in. Cause I mean, nice. We're well over thousands of dollars of an investment into the show, like well over that. So I'm not buying new mics. Happy with these mics. I'll make them work. What I was going to talk to you about, though, it just popped in my head, and I don't want to forget it. I put it in the Telegram yesterday. It was at Boston Be a Man on Instagram, and I think he has other stuff, too. But it reminded me of you as soon as I started watching his videos, and he just does these short little blurps of, like, it's a really Boston thing he does, and then says, be a man after it. And you could totally do these. Like, that's what, and I saw you followed him too. And I'm like, oh my God, I got to talk to you about that as like, not really a topic, but kind of, because what he was going through, since Jen's from New England too, she's watching him with me, and she's like, this is the exact Boston dude mentality. Like, they, like, to a T, but he's also kind of ripping on it. Like, he recognizes it, but then makes it funny. But a lot of what he says is also pretty fucking true. So what do you think about that, like the be a man thing? Because I thought for a boys' night, I thought be a man would be a good, you know, topic to go on.
Yeah, you know, that guy is freaking hilarious. And he will say things that, you know, like, totally normal for us up here. Like, you know, and that's why I related to, and I have followed him for over a year now, like, at least.
Oh, wow.
At least. Yeah. Don't do this. Do that. Do this. Be a man. You know?
Yeah. Like, one I found that I thought was hilarious. He said, if a bird shits on your car, climb up the tree and take a dump in its nest. Be a man. And I had to put that on the Instagram because I'm like, oh, my God, that is amazing. So I started scrolling through his shit, and a lot of them were like, if you're depressed, push it down, hide it from everyone, be a man. And a lot of it rings true like that, because you're like, oh, fuck, that is what I do. And not just from Boston, like all over the place.
Well, I can tell you, you know, and you know, you guys have always busted on me for my accent. I mean, I don't hear it, obviously. But, you know, New Englanders are a different breed. I don't care what anybody says.
You know, I can tell you that.
And then people in other parts of the country say New Englanders, oh man, those guys are tacked out, they're stressed out, they're angry all the time. it's like, I don't really see that. I think that's just in our DNA, man. That's just how it is here. You know, because like me, for instance, like even if I don't know you, I'm going to bust your balls about something.
Oh, yeah. Everybody does that. I think it's the aggro way you sound to people who aren't there that makes it different. Like, everybody busts their balls. I bust everybody's balls, too. I just don't say it in, like, a harsh, like, bust your balls manner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if I know you and we're friends, I'm really going to bust your balls. So you're going to get your balls busted either way. And it don't matter if you're male, female, trans, whatever. I'm going to bust your balls whether you have balls or not. So, but anyways, that's something I learned from all my friends down in Rhode Island. Like, Rhode Island, you want to talk about ball busters, those guys down there. But, Boston, you know, and to clarify, like, I'm not a Bostonian. I do love to go to Boston. I you know, I relate to Boston. I've worked in Boston.
You sound like Boston.
I've gone there to party. I've gone there to do things, other things. I've done a lot of things in Boston, you know. I worked for several months with a crew, a bunch of union workers working on a skyscraper because I was doing an art project for this van that I built to go in the lobby. And I'm working with all these guys. And this is how this, like, check this out one night. So if you're working in Boston and you need to get out of Boston, like, if you don't leave to get on 93 North by 2:30 or 3, you are in bumper-to-bumper traffic for 3 hours.
I believe right? it.
So to get into downtown Boston, like, you're going to take a tunnel. Like, everything's tunnels, right? If you get stuck in a tunnel, dude, you're going to be there for a while. So what I would do, all these dudes, they would leave. They would leave at like 2:30, and I'm like, where are you guys going? Buddy, our day is over. We've been here since 5. I said, well, I can work a couple more hours. Guy said, that's cool. Lock up when you leave. This is a brand new freaking Moxie Hotel skyscraper in the middle of Chinatown in Boston. And I'm like, okay, where's the keys and stuff? Oh, no, we don't need no keys. Here, let me show you. He said, they haven't put no locks on the side door. That's the door you got to go out. You know what was locking the door? He says,
a crowbar?
No, he goes, you got to lock this door here. Here's how you lock it. And I've got a picture to prove it, to back it up. You see this toe strap? Pull it tight. Put it around that knob. Go over here. Ratchet it as tight as you can. And then walk out the front door because it's a one-way door. He said, you will not be able to get back in. So make sure you got all your shit when you leave. And they didn't care. I worked out like 7-8 o'clock at night. I was there. I said, oh, I'm going to check out the rest of the hotel. He goes, yeah, go on a tour. The elevators are working. So here I am in this massive building all by myself, like nobody else in this building. And I'm going up the elevator. I'm checking out the bar. I'm checking out the restaurant. I'm checking out the rooms. I'm checking out the bathrooms. And it was really cool. And I've got all the pictures of that I'm going to have to
show. What were you really doing? You was doing lines in there, weren't you?
No, there was nothing in there. There was not even a drop of alcohol in that place.
Wait, you were sober doing this? That's even crazier. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because you don't want to drive out of Boston and have a buzz on. Actually, I shouldn't say that because I drove out of Salem one night.
By the time you get out of there, you're going to lose your buzz anyway. It's kind of a waste.
Yeah, you know, driving in Boston, you really kind of got to be on your toes at all times.
Yeah, when we went to go see you, it was actually for Jen's sister's wedding, but when we saw you in Boston, we actually never went to Boston besides to fly in and fly out. We were staying in Salem and Peabody and all these, you know, little towns outside, but what I did notice is that a lot of that area, it's so old. It's mostly bricks. And I was telling my friends that when I was over there, I was taking pictures, like every single picture, it's so much brick. Like the streets, most of the buildings, everything's brick. And it looks cool because it's nothing like that over here. We do have brick, but that, like, the whole place is brick. It's and it makes it feel old. And you were telling us about that and all the stories, like out of Salem and the witch trial, you know, that whole era. You can feel it when you're there because it looks like that. And that's why we give you so much shit for your accent, is because everything there to me feels like a movie because I didn't grow up there. So when I'm there, I feel like I'm on a movie set. And then you walk up saying, park the car. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, this is fiction. This is, people live like this. They actually talk like that. That's crazy. So
did I really sound? Do I really sound like that?
No, because I'm a Californian trying to do that. And whenever I do it, Jen says I sound like New York or New Jersey. And I'm like, you know, if you're from the West Coast, those all kind of sound the same. Like that whole area sounds the same to me. I can tell the difference between New York and Boston now, but only because of Jen. Before, I was like, I was doing a Jersey accent. And she's like, that's not a Boston accent. That's a Jersey accent. I'm like, fuck, yeah. I don't know. Shit.
Boston is its own accent, like totally unique compared to a New York accent. Like, yeah, you know, like our friend New York Patriot. I mean, he's got a heavy New York accent, right? So it's kind of funny when him and I get together because people are probably, I don't know, where the fuck are these guys from? But you could tell you could tell they're from the Northeast, right? But yeah, so the thing is, Salem is outside of Boston. Salem is in what we call the North Shore, so it's above Boston. So you have North Shore, you have South Shore, right? And South Shore is like where, you know, South Boston is Southie, they call it. And then when you get a little bit further down, then you hit Plymouth and then you hit the Cape, right? And people on the Cape are like totally different than people in Boston, like totally different. It's like their own breed over there, right? Because I love going to the Cape. Cape's cool. But in Boston, so the streets that you're talking about, those are what we call cobblestone. So those are all cobblestone. They're all actual, some of the streets are brick, like red brick, but not like the main roads you're going to drive on. But underneath those roads are built on top of brick roads and cobblestone roads.
Yeah.
And that's why when they say you can't get there from here, like that's a real deal there. Because the city is not set up like a grid. Like when you go to New York City, I don't know if you've ever been.
I have once.
Excuse me, but when you drive or go anywhere in New York City, New York City's set up like a grid.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely square grids. Like you cannot get lost. If you can count and you know what north, east, south, and west is, you will not get lost. If you go to Boston twice, once this week, one next month, dude, it's almost like they moved the freaking roads. That's how messed up Boston is. Now you got to remember.
Yeah, it's really circular. It's like a maze.
Okay, so Boston was incorporated, I want to say, was it 1628? I'm going to look that up.
So they say, if you want to believe that history. It was somewhere around there, though, I'm sure. And you can tell, by the way, that, like you said, the layers of the roads and all that stuff. Like, it's been there for a long time, no matter what we're told.
Oh, yeah.
It has been.
Yeah, so... So Boston, you know, obviously when the pilgrims came, how the story goes,
these white colonialists,
colonizers, the city of Boston wasn't technically incorporated till 1822, but it was a city in the 1600s. So when the pilgrims came in 1620, of course, a lot of people don't know that when the pilgrims first came, the Puritans, like, they didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Oh, we found land. We've been out to sea for, you know, 3 months or whatever. Like, that story is like horseshit, right?
Well, the whole Columbus story is pretty horseshit.
Well, that is horseshit. But here's the deal with the Puritans. Like, they landed on what is now Provincetown, which is what we call P-Town, and that's like the New England version of Key West. And, you know, I mean, it's predominantly gay people that live
there. I was going to say, isn't Key West like, or not Key West, P-Town known as like, like pretty flaming.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I got 100%. Warned of that. Apparently it's a great party town, but I've never been there. So
let me tell you something about P-Town. If you're into people watching and you like to see that kind of weird shit going on, like that's the place to go. Right. There's bars literally everywhere, and honestly, it's a good time to go there. I have a friend of mine who's gay that lives there. But anyways, but the pilgrims actually landed on what is Provincetown, which is the very tip of Cape Cod, right? Where the little elbow comes around. And the problem was it wasn't enough fresh water there. So they had to go all the way down to a town what's called Truro today to get fresh water. Well, they figured out that was way too much work. So they had to find a better place. And that's when they left Provincetown, went across what is the bay. They went across the bay and landed in what is Plymouth. And that's where the Plymouth colony started there. Right. And in my family came 18 or 19 years after that. So in the 1640s. And then they spread out, of course, and ended up in what is Salem today. Well, it was Salem then, but it was Salem then. And then Peabody, my family was big in Peabody too, is where you guys were. And that's literally right next door to Salem. So, you know, when you go to these places and you feel like you're on a movie set, well, you are, because they use this place for movie sets all the time. And a lot of those buildings that were originally built are still there. Right.
Yeah. You can tell.
Yeah. And this is really interesting. I got an alert somewheres from the Home and Garden Channel, right? And they were restoring. Oh, I know what it was. I found it on Facebook because I belong to the Facebook page for Salem Witch Trial Descendants, and I'm a direct descendant. So somebody said, oh, you should watch this show on HGTV because they're renovating the original Proctor house. Well, the Proctor was my family, right? My mom's a Proctor, my grandmother a Proctor, so on and so forth. And so I started watching it, and it was the original house that John Proctor had that was the tavern. It was the tavern. He lived there, and it was a tavern because he owned a tavern. And all this is documented, and it's documented that this was his house. And some very wealthy couple from, I think, California, actually, or somewheres, because when they had to come in to look at it, they had to fly in, right? So it's really cool, but it just shows you that this house built in the 1600s, and here we are, 2024, is still there.
Yeah.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Like, all the original beams are there, the original floors are there, you know, redone or whatever, but
they have to kind of like, you know, re-support them every once in a while. So Jen's sister, one of her sisters, we stay there every time we're there in a, the house is from like 1815 or something. It's wild how old this fucking house is. Obviously there's been some fucking renovation, and they actually at one point had to redo like some supporting beams under it. Mm. And it was like, okay, what house built nowadays would last almost 200 years? Like, that's crazy. What were they doing? They were using different wood back then or something.
No, they were using local wood. They were using local the wood that they had there, right? Which was mostly oaks and maples and things like that.
Old growth wood,
yeah. So, well, you got to remember, you know, back in the early 1600s, like, none of that stuff had ever, these were unaltered forests.
Right.
It's not like the Native Americans were, like, logging, you know? They didn't build houses. They didn't have houses. You know,
no,
so
mud huts.
Yeah, so they built you know, whatever wood that was there. And a lot of the old house, like the Joyces, those were all just trees split in half. Like my mom's house is from 1820, you know? And if you go down into the cellar, all the supporting beams are just pieces of tree. If you look up at the floor joists for the first floor, and I mean, and her house has hardwood floors like that are 100, you know, couple hundred years old now. But the floor joists are actually trees that were split in half, hand hewed with axes, notched on the ends. I mean, they're not bolted together or nothing like that. I mean, that's how these houses were built. And the other thing is, too, is like you say, and this is probably Jen's sister's house, probably the same situation, is that these houses, they didn't have concrete foundations back then, and they didn't have cement blocks back then. Nope. So these houses were built on either slabs of granite, like my mom's house is built on slabs of granite. Granite that was just cut and stacked on top of each other and used other rocks because, you know, New England, all it is rocks. Like, that's why, you know, very few farms here. Yeah. Because you can't grow any freaking thing here because the ground, you can't dig 3 inches without hitting a rock here, right? And so what they did was they would use those for bases, and sometimes they would just make round stone foundations, and they would build these houses on top of them. Now, they didn't have, you know, weatherproof paint and stains and things like that. Like, it was very expensive to even paint a house back then. Like, they used to make dyes out of blueberries and out of raspberries. This is what they would use for dyes to make their paint. You know,
that was probably healthier, though. I mean, can you imagine how expensive a paint made out of blueberries would be? It'd be more expensive than paint, but it would probably be less toxic as well.
Yeah, you know, it's just really cool when you look at these super old houses. And when you look at the old buildings that are in Salem, right? I mean, you and Jen had a chance to, while you were waiting for me, to kind of do a little tour, right? I mean, a lot of those buildings may only be 100 years old, but even just thinking of it as 100 years old, right? That's 100 years. Yeah. And most of those buildings down there are 300 plus years old.
Yeah. And so they were just dumb people from 300 years ago that somehow built something that lasted that long. I mean, our house was built in the 60s, I think. And I'm like, it's going to need a lot of work if it wants to last another 20 years, let alone another 200. Like, what were they doing?
I built my house in 1990, right? So it's 34 years old now. And I mean, it's already gone through renovations.
Yeah.
And I mean, my house was well built. It's a stick built house, which means it's built by 2x6s and 2x8s and 2x10s. You know, it's not a prefab, and there's nothing wrong with prefab houses. They're really good here, actually. But yeah, I mean, I've already done my roof. We've redone floors. We've redone bathrooms. We've done all that, all kinds of renovations.
Well, and it's weird too, because you think about, like, not everybody is from a place that's that humid and salt watery. That wreaks havoc on construction, on cars, especially wood, like humid salt water air on wood. So the fact that a lot of it's brick, which is probably why, but like you were talking about with the weird way that they use the logs and all that, like, it, that's just wood, and they're not weatherproofing it, and it's lasted that fucking long in those conditions.
Like, yeah, well, you know, back in the day, cedar was a pretty prominent wood here, right? And cedar is impervious to rot, and it's impervious to bugs. So back in the day, if they had cedar, because cedar is pretty rare now. I mean, I know
it's
where there's
expensive too.
And I know where there's one cedar tree over in the town where I went to high school, right? And it's still there. It's huge. But like my house, my siding is all cedar on my house. And I mean, I've only stained it 3 times in 34 years. Like, and it's
still
fine.
Do you seal it too, like a clear coat or anything like that? Or is it just staining it?
No, it's a natural stain, so it's semi-transparent. So it's almost like a clear coat, you know? But yeah, I mean, it's just, things are different here. And what a lot of people don't realize, yes, we have a very long winter. It's cold for 7 months out of the year here.
That's why I don't live there.
But
fuck that.
When it's summer, it can be as hot here as it is in Florida.
Yeah, because of the humidity, right?
The humidity is crazy. To have 75, 80% humidity, like, that is normal. You know, then you get what they call the Triple H days, hazy, hot, and humid, where it's so humid that the water particles in the sky make it hazy, and you just cook. And I mean, you sweat without just sitting, you're sweating. And that's why I think that's why New Englanders drink so much.
So I was actually just going to say that. So when it is humid here, which is only during the winter, I don't get hungover near as much. And I think it's because I'm absorbing so much water all day. During the summer, if you're out here in 110 degrees in my backyard drinking beer, you're going to be fucked up the next day because you're just cooking yourself out there, drying yourself up from the inside. You're turkey basting yourself in the oven. It's a fucking oven out there. I can't imagine being over there and it being as hot as it gets here, because like all Californians say, it's a dry heat. Over there, if it was 110 at 80% humidity, you'd probably all just fucking die.
The only time in New England we have a dry heat is the middle of winter when you're sitting next to a wood stove. That's it. And trust me, when you're in New England, you don't want to be anywhere but sitting in front of a wood stove. But we had a pretty mild winter this year, so it was all good. But I'm really hoping we have a hot summer. We've had a couple of summers really bad. Last year it rained almost, I think we had 3 weekends it didn't rain. We're doing really good on that now. As a matter of fact, now we're wanting it to rain. It's been threatening to rain for a few days.
We got to watch out for that climate change, bro.
But I mean, today it's been 80 degrees and, you know, not like partly sunny or whatever. But I mean, it's been nice, and we're supposed to get washed out this weekend, but we'll see. You know, I mean, the weathermen, they don't get it right. You know, it's almost
it's
like
hard
the weather.
To when there's streaks in the sky.
Well, yeah. So I got a big show coming up for that, like a fact-based show that we're going to be doing.
So-called you can't say that. That's a conspiracy theory. What you have to say is geoengineering or weather modification, and then it's not a conspiracy theory. It's just scientific fact. If you say chemtrails, you're crazy, though.
Yeah. So I have several people lined up. One is a state rep here in New Hampshire because they tried to pass a bill. It was called HB 1700, where they were going to outlaw geoengineering. So atmosphere, anything messing with the atmosphere and things like that.
Good luck with that, but good.
Well, I mean, it got shot down like on the first hearing. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about. But do you know the state of Tennessee, that passed?
I did hear that, and that's...
Yeah.
So how are they going to do that as a state? Are they just going to say, you can't fly over us, which you're spraying? Like, how are they going to stop the feds from doing that?
So I don't know, because that's what we're actually looking into, doing the research and the prep for this one episode we're going to do. And we have a climate... Like the climate guru is going to be coming on to talk about it. And he's not all on the climate change. Okay, so listen, global warming and climate change. So they don't, I don't know if they're calling it. What is the one they're not allowed to call it anymore? They're not allowed to call it
global warming. Global
warming.
Yeah, because that's Al Gore, and he's so 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, if he had his way, we'd be sitting on Noah's Ark on the top of Mount Ararat right now, because the ice poles would have melted and we'd have no land, right?
Yeah, so, obviously that's going to happen because you have billionaires buying, property on islands and building bunkers, and Statue of Liberty water levels remain the same in all of its existence. So you know that's true, though. The polar caps are going to melt. You can trust us on that.
Yeah, I do know, though, I do know that the water on the beaches of New Hampshire it definitely is a little higher than it used to be, but I think it's all cyclical. So you can't say there's no such thing as climate change, because the climate's always changing, and it has for millions of years.
So that's what makes it such an ingenious agenda term, is to say climate change, because it's always fucking changing.
They're not lying.
I saw a meme or something about that where it was like, I'm not denying the climate, that there's climate change. I'm denying it's anything fucking new. And on top of that, when you take into account, the geoengineering or chemtrails, they're trying to make it change so that they can say, look, it's fucking changing. And by the way, don't pay attention to the streaks. Those are contrails. They don't do anything. It's wild.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I've never seen flight patterns where they make perfect tic-tac-toes up in the sky.
And then those tic-tac-toes turn into bigger tic-tac-toes, and throughout the day, and by the end of the afternoon, it's just a haze of nasty over you. I'm not saying it's poison. It might be. All I'm saying is, if it was something good, why is it hidden? Why is it denied? Like, if it was just cloud seeding, like, we're trying to make it rain, it's good for the planet for it to rain. Okay, just say that then. Why do you deny it for the better part of a half a century? Like, that's what gets me tripped up. I don't understand.
Yeah, I know some people that are really, really intelligent people that are still not believing anything about that. And the evidence is there, right? So that's why I tell people, stay tuned to the Wicked Planet, because we're going to be doing one, possibly two or three shows on it. And fact-based, we're not even going to look at it from a conspiratorial viewpoint. Actually, I shouldn't say that, because you know me. I'm going to want to bring the conspiracy into it a little bit.
It'll come in there.
Yeah, but there's definitely something to it, or whatever. All I know is that at one time, where I live right now was underneath of a glacier. And at another time, where I live right now, was tropical. So yes, the climate's changing. The earth changes. Joe, have you seen this thing going around? There's a guy I found, and I've been following him on YouTube, and he does a lot of reports on the sun cycles, the solar flares, the solar storms. And in a lot of the research that I've done is like, our weather is kind of dictated by what the sun is doing, right?
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, we had these really bad solar storms here. Now, they had them all over the country, but we had them here. We could actually see the northern lights, and I haven't seen the northern lights since I was like in my 20s. And we used to see them all the time, like in the wintertime back then. Now it's like, this was the only time I saw the northern lights, and I didn't see them very well, because there's a lot of light pollution where I am now. Further up north, you should see the pictures that people were putting on the social media. It was absolutely beautiful. And what that is, it's the solar flares bouncing off our magnetic field, right? and it makes all these different colors. Of course, there's a lot of conspiracies there. Oh no, that's from the hole, from the flat Earth.
Yeah, but it's the you know, magnetic north tree or whatever's growing up there. And if I know, I haven't been up there.
Yeah, me either. Anyways, Northern Lights are just real freaking pretty. And they said they made it all the way. People in Texas were seeing the Northern Lights, which I don't know how that's possible.
I don't even know if that was anything that's ever happened before. Before we get too far off of this, though, I wanted to share. So we've talked about this. It's probably been 2 years. But when you're talking about this is what I was saying earlier, is that if you call it chemtrails, it's a conspiracy theory. So we're going to go to the bastion of truth, everybody's favorite place to get knowledge, Wikipedia. So if you just look up chemtrails or chemtrail conspiracy theory on Wikipedia, it has this long article about, you know, how much bullshit it is, a conspiracy, blah, blah, blah. You go to see also, and you go to stratospheric aerosol injection, and it has this equally long, very scientifically, you know, written thing on stratospheric aerosol injections. And then you go to see also on that, where is it? That's a long ass fucking thing. So where is it? Cloud seeding. Let's go to cloud seeding. And then it says it as fact. Cloud seeding is a type of weather modification that aims to change the amount or type of precipitation, mitigate hail, or disperse fog. It doesn't say it's proposed. It says is a thing. The pictures they show basically look like chemtrails, except less cartoonish, because this is, you know, obviously based in fact. You go to the see also on cloud seeding. Let's see what they have there. Oh, in Vietnam, what do we talk about here? Project Popeye?
Oh, yeah. Was that during the Vietnam War when they were cloud seeding to drown out the Mekong Delta?
Yeah, the Ho Chi Minh Trail or whatever. Yeah.
Ho Chi Minh Trail, that's it, yeah.
They have all these examples of this, and this is from 1955, 1954, 2019 in Sri Lanka. So there's all these examples of this, but if you look up chemtrails, they're like crazy conspiracy theory. It's unbelievable, because if you call it the wrong thing, then it's a conspiracy theory. But if you say the scientific term, they're like, oh yeah, totally, we've been doing that for like, you know, 60 years. It's known. And it's like, no, it's not. It's been denied. What are you talking about?
Yeah, this technology has been around for about 50 years, Joe. So, I mean, everybody knows that they used that in the Vietnam War. That's you know, why they got it to rain so bad. I mean, you know, one of their goals was that they, you know, because when in Vietnam, the Viet Cong and everything like that were big into building tunnels, right?
Yeah.
And that's how they would ambush our guys, was they would hide out in these tunnels. And they had whole, like, hospitals and everything in these tunnels, right? And what the plan was, they were going to flood those out, right? They were going to flood them out, and they were going to run out like rats, you know, getting out of there. And as a matter of fact, that the guys they used to send in the tunnels, they called them tunnel rats, to go and chase those people out of there. But this has been around for a long time. Like, this isn't a new thing. But the problem I have is I think they should just let nature take its course. Like, you can't fight nature. You cannot go against something that's been on a particular cycles that this earth has been on since the earth was even came to be, you know. And we're not going to get into the discussion on as to how people think the earth came to be, you know, because, oh no, you know, you believe in the Bible, you believe in Genesis. Oh, what about the Nephilim? Okay. So we're not even going there. But what I'm saying is, for possibly billions of years, our atmosphere has changed. Our landscape has changed. Our continents have changed. Everything has changed. And along with that comes the weather is going to change to go with it, right? I mean, it's you know, I'm not one of the, you know, oh, trust the science. And this isn't about trusting the science. This is about looking back in history and seeing what actually went on. You know, and I have another idea that, you know, civilization on Earth is a lot older than what we're being told, or what even people, you know, can even fathom in their mind. I think civilization has been here on Earth for millions of years, you know, not, you know, not to go against the Bible or whatever, because, you know, I kind of believe, you know, I'm a believer. So, but,
well,
you know,
the problem with that, so I like the Bible stuff too, but I think the problem is what people extrapolate out of the timeline, and they're trying to put hard dates on, like, Moses was this many years ago. It's like, he could just be an archetype of a certain change, or maybe he was from 6000 BC or whatever they say, but that doesn't eliminate the fact, the possibility that there could have been many civilizations before that too. Like, you don't know.
Yeah. You know, in one of my Catholic Bibles, there's a whole section there that tries to do a timeline, and they have these one little sections that's basically, you know, to paraphrase what it says, okay, so we don't know how much time transpired between this and this. Like, we have no clue.
Right? Could be a million years, could be 100. We don't know.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, I have this theory that, you know, when you talk about Genesis or whatever, and God created man in his, you know, in his own image or whatever, right? It could have been he invented that version of man. Like, we don't know what version of man was here before, you know?
That's one of my favorite things is the very first verse in the Bible, in the beginning. According to some people, that's mistranslated, and it should be in a beginning or in any beginning. So if you're doing that, maybe this is...
Maybe
Genesis was 6,000 years ago, whatever they say, and it was just the new start of the new beginning.
You know, I could definitely agree with that 100%. You know, because, you know, when Anonymous Sean comes on, and I did a show with Anonymous Sean today, so everybody be looking forward to that. Everybody loves him. Nice. He's a really smart guy. You know, he's really into the Bible. He's into scripture and things like that. He's not a Bible thumper, and he doesn't push it on anybody, but he knows a lot about it, right? Even he says, oh, before God created Adam and Eve, there was people here before. You know, there were things here before that. So God created these people, maybe his version of people, right? I mean, you know, we didn't, you know, really try to get into a biblical conversation here. But, you know, in terms of climate, I think the earth is way older than people think. I think civilization is way older, and we've been through many cycles. Like, I was talking to Mark. I had Mark come on the show a couple of weeks ago. From My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, Mark Steves, and we were talking about the Kali Yuga and the Yuga cycles, which is kind of similar to the Hopi prophecies of the cycles of whatever they call it. And then you got the cycles of what the Mayans call it, right? You know, and then you have what they call the fourth turning, which a lot of people prophesize we're going through that right now. So yeah, Earth goes in cycles, and in these cycles, weather changes, plain and simple.
And it explains ice ages and other stuff like that. So it's,
Joe, do you know that right now in 2024, we're still at the tail end of coming out of the last ice age? So this could be why it's warming up.
On the grand scale, yeah.
Yes, yes. I mean, even climate scientists have said that. We're still coming out of the last ice age.
And then they're freaking out about climate change.
Yeah, and we think, you know, humans are impatient. Right, but some things take tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of years to evolve, right? It doesn't happen in a century. It doesn't even happen in a millennia, which is 1,000 years. It just doesn't happen.
No, not at all.
So, you know, it's been sped up because of humans and cows. Did you know that at one time there was more bison on this continent, just bison, than there is bison in cattle now? Like, what was the problem back then, right? This whole war against food, and that's going to be
white people.
Yeah, that's going to be, that's going to be the topic of our discussion on the show tomorrow that we're going to be taping. But, you know, it's a huge war on food, it's a huge war on agriculture, huge war against cattle. Now they're bringing in this bullshit bird flu narrative, you know, that's coming in. And we're going to get into that tomorrow, hopefully, and cover that a little bit.
Give us a sneak preview of that, though, because I've seen a couple, I've been trying to stay off of whatever the current thing is, but you know, social media just shoves it down your neck hole anyway. But what is the thing with the bird flu now? Because this came up a couple years ago, maybe last year, maybe the year before, I don't remember. But what's the new thing with bird flu now? Because I'm not up on that.
Well, the WHO, of course, you know, they've been trying to pass this pandemic treaty, and in these countries are supposed to be signing on to. It's 194 countries in the world, basically. And what the WHO, which is the World Health Organization, wants to be able to say, we want the right to declare health emergencies.
Right. And they shot that down here, from what I heard.
Well,
for now.
It has to go through a process. It has to be ratified by Congress, right? But, you know, United States is like the biggest contributor to the WHO. And Trump kind of backed off on that, but because Biden, he just reversed everything. But the point is they want these countries to sign on to this what they're calling a treaty, which really isn't a treaty. But what it basically means is, in the event of some pandemic, or what they rule as a pandemic, which the way they have it, it could be, oh, two people in Angola got sick. It's a pandemic, right? They want countries to give the power to dictate what is going to happen to combat whatever pandemic that they dream up. Meaning the WHO wants to be able to say, oh, United States, we got to shut you down. Or Russia or England or France or whatever. You just pick a country.
Right. And that was the major concern with this treaty is everyone's like, what?
Big time. Big time. And countries are like, yeah, I think if anybody's going to declare a pandemic in my country, it's going to be the people that run this country. And I think that's how that should be. If there's a pandemic in China, okay, well, you need to keep your people in China, right? But the problem is, Joe, is that these pandemics, they are made up. And not yeah. only that, but these viruses are weaponized viruses. These viruses are not natural in the wild. Like, these viruses are made through gain of function, which is what Fauci was on the hot seat about the other day.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, which I'm not a huge fan of, but I heard a snippet of that and it was pretty funny. She actually refused to call him doctor.
Yeah, well, I am a fan of hers. I don't agree 100% because you can't agree with anybody 100%.
No, but she was a bulldog on that one. Oh my God.
She's not a bulldog, Joe. She is a pup. She is a pit bull on this.
Oh, okay.
And she just has in her mind what she thinks is going on, and she's letting everybody know, and she's not bashful about it. I like that about her.
That's how they all should be. Wouldn't we get shit done way quicker if everybody just did that instead of Fauci's fucking circle jerking around whatever he's talking about? It's maddening.
Yeah, well, the point is, when they are working on gain of function, which means taking a virus and making it do things it wasn't initially supposed to do, basically.
Yeah, trying to make it stronger and mutate it. Oh, yeah, remember how many mutations we've had?
Or to attack certain DNA profiles, right?
And they call them variants. It's naturally variation, yeah.
But this is what they're trying to pull now with the bird flu. Now you got Deborah Brix come back, and she's the one that was like, oh, you got to socially distance. We're going to, you know, what was the thing with the curve? Flatten the curve. Right. So you got two weeks. In 2 weeks, it'll be over. And it ended up being, what, a year plus, almost 2 years?
4.5 years now.
Yeah. So now she's pushing the bird flu, because what we need to do is PCR test all the cattle once a week in the world. Is she out of her fucking mind?
Yes.
Because that is not even possible to begin with. And stop blaming cattle for every woe that there is. They blame cattle because that's what people eat. And when people have cattle, they can eat, they have food. And they wanted to, there is a war on food, and that's what we're going to get into tomorrow.
Nice. Yeah, and if anybody hasn't been paying attention in the last couple of years, I mean, all those, just Google how many food factories blew up out of nowhere or caught fire or just got destroyed. And then you go to the store in 2024 and you're like, why is everything so expensive? Because of the last couple of years of this war on manufacturing and food production and agriculture and all that stuff. And it's just ramping up. And I like to think it's a smaller cycle of this. It's just for the election or something, but I don't know. It seems like an ongoing thing, and that's going to be the next big thing, is this election cycle. And I just couldn't give less of a shit. I think we're fucked. It doesn't matter who gets in there. Like, if you haven't been paying attention in the last like six decades, nothing ever really gets better for us ever. It just goes up.
Well,
it's more expensive.
I can tell you, I made a lot of money in the Clinton years, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Because Clinton, regardless of how you feel about Hillary Clinton, like, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are two different people. Bill Clinton was a good president. Bill Clinton was a good president. I don't care who he was banging. Everybody knows Bill Clinton was old whore dog from way back. It just is what it is. And I don't care that he was one of the biggest cocaine traffickers coming out of Arkansas, which he was, which they can prove very easily.
But I mean, you can't fault the man for playing a fucking awesome trombone and getting the ladies to want to, you know, suck his wiener in the Oval Office. Who cares?
Yeah, you know, Monica
Lewinsky. He was fiscally a great president, but yeah.
Monica Lewinsky wasn't a bad-looking girl, and to be honest, she's prettier now than she was then.
Well, it's because you're older now.
Yeah, she's just... Monica Lewinsky's hot, and we know she gives head, so she's not that bad of a chick, right?
She gives presidential head, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's... How much better does that get? But the point is, and I did well in the Trump years. So, I mean, I've always done okay anyway. The only years that were really bad was when the housing crash in 2008 came. I lost a lot of investments. I lost a lot of money during that. And it took me a while to dig out of that, but you know, but we're there. Yeah. But the problem now with the inflation, I think a correlation could be made to the inflation that we're suffering now because of the COVID lockdowns and how much money that the Fed printed, because too much money in the supply causes inflation. That's like inflation 101. It's economics 101, right? So the only way they can do this is to get money out of the system. And this is why the Fed is not raising or lower, I should say not lowering interest rates. So they raise interest rates 25 points at a time or whatever. And when they do that, well, it makes money harder to borrow. And if people aren't able to borrow money, well, then they're not buying big ticket items. And this, in their idea of how this works, because the economy, like, you can be an economist like your whole life and still not get it 100%. But right now, that's what we're looking at. You know, and I look at inflation like similar to what happened in Germany after World War One, right? The Weimar Republic, where people were burning money in their stoves to be warm because the money was useless.
It was worth Deutschmarks were worth more as kindling than anything else. That's what?
Yeah, yeah. What? Like you hear the old wives' tale, oh, it was a wheelbarrow of money to buy a loaf of bread or whatever. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to see that. But something that Sean and I talked about today is that this system is so broke on so many different levels that the only way for it to do anything and not to, you know, go on to the World Economic Forum, because when you say the Great Reset, that's what you equate it to, is the World Economic Forum. But there does have to be some form of like reset, restart, turn the computer off, turn it back on, and hope it boots back up. Because yeah. I think that's where we're at right now, Joe. I really do. I mean, you know, the weirdest thing, everything is super expensive. You know, everybody's complaining they can't get a job or, you know, they don't have enough money to live. I'll tell you what, it costs more now for me to repair a customer's vehicle. And I mean, they come up with the money to pay their bills. I mean, average ticket used to be between $300 and $600, you know, for whatever you were doing to a car. Now the average ticket is $1,000 to $1,500. We just put a vehicle out the door today, a 2021 Avalon Hybrid. Their bill to fix their car, and it was just body damage, $5,200.
Jesus.
And yeah, the insurance company paid a big portion of it, but a lot of it wasn't insurance related, so they had to pay out of pocket. It's a retired couple. The guy walks up into my office and goes, okay, how much is my bill? And I said, well, you already paid me $2,000 down for parts. Your balance is $3,200. Okay, sat down, wrote me a check. Have a nice day. You know, like it was fucking nothing.
I couldn't do that. I'd be like, I guess I don't have a car anymore. But the point is,
money is supposed to be so tight, but nobody coming into my shop has any problems paying their bill. It's bizarre.
Well, that's like
it goes against like common wisdom or whatever, you know, whatever the term is for that. It just logic. Goes against it. Yeah. It's like, well, okay.
So
cool.
The funny part about the inflation thing and you know, the politicians are going to deny to the end that we're in a recession or that inflation is bad. And it's because they're the capstone of the pyramid. They don't even know what the fuck's going on down here. Do you think, when's the last time Nancy Pelosi bought a loaf of bread?
Yeah.
Never in the last 60 years. She doesn't even know what that means to go down and fill up her car or to be like, ooh, do I have enough money for cheese? She has no idea. So none of these people have any idea what they're
talking about.
And it sucks because what we're seeing now is the after effects, I mean, in my mind, of 2020 and everything that's gone on since then. We're just now seeing like the tsunami coming in from that. And what drives me nuts is that everyone will blame either Biden or Trump for that because of policies or whatever. And really, it's staggered so much that everybody can blame the last president very easily and with a lot of actual evidence or at least, theories, I would say, on what happened. Like, whenever Biden leaves office, which I don't think he's going to win a second term this year, but whoever gets in this year, they're going to blame whatever happens. One side's going to blame the current president, and one side's going to blame the last president, and they're both going to be kind of right, but they're also going to be right about the last, like, three presidents, because these things avalanche down the presidential chain. So it's kind of hard to pin down like who did what and whose policies fucked things up, because it takes so long for all that to reach the bottom of the pyramid where we are. So,
yeah, you know, when you're right about that, Joe, too, because when the housing crash came in 2008, like, we didn't really start feeling the effects of that. Now, I didn't feel the effects of that until 2012. That's when it hit me. You know, and I remember when Barack Obama was first president in 2008, first thing he did was he blamed George W. Bush.
Right? Oh, but they all do.
So it's exactly what you say. But because when there's a dip in the economy or even inflation or whatever, it's not an overnight thing, right? It has to accumulate, and it accumulates slowly.
Right.
You know, it's like when you compared it to a tsunami. Well, just before a tsunami, all that water that's typically on the beach gets sucked back into the ocean.
Yeah.
And that's where we were for like, probably through the Trump years, when things were looking good, people were making money, the economy was doing good, the stock market was doing good. And then Biden comes in, changes all the policies. You know, Biden took over for Trump right when we were, you know, just getting into the whole COVID thing. And then when Biden took over after about a year, well, that's when that receding water decided it was going to come back in the form of a tsunami. And that's what it did. Now, do I blame Biden for a lot of what's going on? Well, I can blame him for at least 60% of it.
Come because on, man.
Let's face it. Like, this guy has no clue what's going on. And you said that you don't think Biden will get reelected. Here's my prediction. I don't think Biden's even going to run. I mean, he was over there in France yesterday for the commemoration of the anniversary of the D-Day invasion, which was on June 6, 1944, right? Which was the beginning of the end for the Third Reich. And now we're in the Fourth Reich, in my opinion. So, you know, the Germans lost the war, the Nazis didn't, right? But that's a whole nother subject. But the point is, he's up on stage shitting his pants.
Was that validated that he was shitting his pants? Because it looked like it was to me.
Okay, so there was some news agency. I didn't have a chance to read it, but I'm going to look it up tomorrow. A news agency who hired a body language specialist and said, watch this video. What do you think he's doing? This guy says he's shitting his pants. But here's what's going to happen. And they've already got this planned out, right? At the Democratic convention, I'm really hoping that this works out like this. But it's this next election cycle is not going to be Biden versus Trump. It's not going to happen. One, if the election even takes place, which is going to be doubtful.
That's a debate, right? In itself. Yeah.
Big time. But here's what's going to happen if it does. They're going to go to the Democratic National Convention. They're going to announce that Joe Biden is going to continue the remainder of his term, but they're going to introduce somebody else to take his place on the ticket, take his electorals, his electorates, and whoever that is, there he is. It's going to be Gavin Newsom, your governor. It's definitely not going to be Kamala Harris. Like, she is not electable. And I don't know of anybody else besides.
Even to Democrats, she's not electable.
So the theory is it's either going to be Gavin Newsom or it's going to be Michelle, a.k.a. Michael Obama, who's going to be on the Democratic side. Now, I don't think they're going to bring Hillary back into the mix. Honestly, I don't think she's healthy enough. I think she's got some major issues going on.
I think she's right? done.
Yeah, I think she's done too. Not going to take anything away from her because she's a very smart lady. She's just fucking evil.
Right.
And she's very evil about how she goes and does things. And I never liked her. Even when Bill Clinton was president, you could always see where she was trying to stick her nose into things. And a lot of all the politicians were telling him, listen, tell your wife, she's the first lady, get the fuck out of here and stop trying to, you know, stick your nose into what's going on here. Yeah. Because that's when they were first pushing the universal health care, which ended up becoming Obamacare. So Obamacare was just Clinton care. That's all that was.
Which was right? a huge bag of dicks for everybody.
It's just another tax on the American taxpayer. That's all it was. They were forcing you to have something that should be optional, right? Again, whole other topic. But what's going to happen is if Gavin Newsom's been to the White House several times, right? And he's got his ticket out of California because he knows he ain't going to go anywhere in California. Everybody in California knows he's a fraud.
Oh, yeah.
You live in California. You should know better than I do. Nobody has called him out on where that other $500 million went when he sent $1 billion to China for PPE.
Because right? the only people calling him out are people like us that have no name nobodies. Yeah. Everybody else that would call him out that would have the power to do that don't do that. So here we are.
Well, they're probably getting a cut, Joe. See, that's the one thing. Money can buy a lot of forgiveness, can buy a lot of amnesia. So that's how that works. But, you know, there's no way Joe Biden can do another 4 years, you know, and they would have to absolutely either have Trump whacked or whatever, because even if Trump is in prison, he could still be elected president and he could walk right out the door and pardon himself. Right. So this whole thing that's going on with Trump is nothing but theater. I had done this. I posted on X and I said, all this is theater. It's all distraction. It doesn't matter what's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen to anybody on the left. Nothing's going to happen to Joe Biden. Nothing's going to happen with this fucking trial that's going on with Hunter Biden right now. Absolutely nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen to Fauci and nothing's going to happen to Schiff. Nothing's going to happen to any of these people that are involved in what I call treasonous behavior. Right, including our president. Oh, yeah. Right, treasonous behavior. They should be hanging from a rope somewhere. But nothing is going to happen. Yet they have no problem prosecuting their number one opponent. Right. I mean that does. I mean they like to use the term banana republic. Like I think it's worse than that. Right.
Beyond that by several decades.
We're way beyond that. We're way beyond that. But the point is, if we have an election, there's no way that the Democrats are going to win unless Trump is completely taken out of the picture. Like, completely taken out of the picture. Like, fucking whacked. That's the only way. That's the only way that the left is going to win this. There's probably over 100 million people ready to vote for Trump.
Oh, I bet. And that would destroy Biden's record of 82 million or whatever they said it was. You know,
well, 81 million votes, which probably 40 million of those were dead people.
Dead people, yeah.
Look at how he's buying votes, Joe. He lets all these people into the country. Now you got the state of Maine is giving illegal immigrants driver's licenses, all with the same Social Security number. It's all nines. And this police department in Maine was like, they called the governor or governor's officer or whoever they would call in Maine and said, okay, what are all these people? We're making traffic stops and we got these driver's licenses, which are valid. However, the Social Security number, they're all the same. How are we supposed to actually identify these people? These people are not vetted.
Well, and they're looking at their like picture and they're like, you look the same too. That's crazy.
Well, you could just go in and say, yeah, my name is Jose Ramirez or fucking whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Well, my name is, you know what I mean?
You're doing clicks.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, but now that they have a driver's license, they have an ID. So if they push the voter ID, well, they have an ID. The ID doesn't say if you're a citizen or not. So he's buying votes that way, number one. He's buying votes by paying off everybody's student loans, right? He's buying votes
Yeah. Or saying he's going to.
Well, he has. He hasn't paid off everybody's, but I mean, he's going through a process. And then he comes up and he does a speech last week saying, the Republicans held me back. I went around them and I got it done. Yeah, you circumvented the Constitution to do it because the Supreme Court of the United States told you it was unconstitutional for that. And you couldn't do that. You don't have the power to do that. But he did it anyway. So they don't care what the Constitution says. That right there is going against your oath to the Constitution when they swear you in for your whatever position, whether you feel as though he got it legitimately or not, right? That is treasonous behavior.
Well, these people are so far above any law that it doesn't matter anymore.
And then they go online, they go on social media, and what are they always posting? Nobody is above the law. Well, I hope you keep your word on that because you're next, buddy. Because somebody at some point is going to get into power and they're going to form some type of retribution against this. Because this shit is treasonous. I can't help but saying it. I'll say it 100 times. It is treasonous. My family was here before the United States was the United States. My family was here before it was even considered the 13 original colonies. My family members fought and died in the Revolution and the Civil War and every other freaking war. So I'm pretty patriotic about it. Like, and when I see what's going on, like, this is horseshit, dude. This is not how it's supposed to be. And if more Americans read the Constitution, they wouldn't deem what happened on January 6th as an insurrection. They would deem that Well, it wasn't an insurrection anyway. If they want to see an insurrection, that's probably what they're going to see in the next 6 months. But here's the other thing. The left is pushing there's going to be a civil war. They're pushing that narrative really hard, right? So
Tim Pool is too.
But people need to not buy into that. People need to not take the bait. You can see that they're baiting everybody. They want a civil war because a civil war is the unrest that they're looking for to have a reason to shut down the economy, to shut down the country, and to shut down the elections in the form of declaring martial law.
And having their great reset. So what we can only hope for is that it somehow turns around and we do have a great reset, but it's the better reset, the reset we want. And there's more of us than them. So I think that's a possibility. I always like to end on a good note and not like, oh, we're all fucked and whatever. No, I think we're going to still be here paying taxes next year. That's probably going to be what happens. But we can hope that something gets overturned or something changes to the better. And I mean, that would tie into the yuga cycles and everything, which is a totally different fucking show. But we do have to fucking get out of here. I think I have friends at my house and I'm just in here doing this, which I love, Ron, and I love you.
And you need to cut me off, Joe, because I can go for hours on this shit.
I know. And I could, it's Friday night. I do have to work tomorrow, but I could go for hours on this shit too. But tell everybody where they can find you on my end and we will get this show on the road.
Well, I'm Ron from New England. You can find me on Instagram at Ron from New England and the Wicked Planet podcast. I'm starting to be a lot more active on Twitter X.
Formerly known as Twitter. Yeah.
Formerly known, I call it Twitter twatter, right? So I did go ahead, I bit the bullet, and I got verified, so I got my little blue check mark.
So Illuminati confirmed.
Well, there's a reason for that, because you can do a lot on X now. You can do lives, you can do spaces. I actually jumped on a space the other morning because I was cruising through X, and I saw that our buddy Drew Misson from You're Missing the Point podcast in Australia was on this
shout
space.
Out Drew.
Yeah, so he was on this space, so I clicked on it, and I was in there for like 30 seconds, and he goes, hold on, everybody. I can't believe this, but I think Ron from New England just joined the chat. And so I talked for like 20 minutes with those guys the other morning while I was with my kid waiting for the school bus. So, yeah, shout out to Drew. I want to get together with him real soon, and I'd like to get you and Jen and Ben, if he's ever available. Haven't seen Ben forever.
I know.
Get together, join me on the Wicked Planet some night, and we could talk more. And it's just like Sean and I when we did our show today. Like, we know that we're in some shit, right? But it's not the end. Like America's going to survive. You hear a lot of people talking, oh, this is the end of the Republic and this is the end. No, it's not, dude. This is a hiccup and it's going to get straightened out. It might be a little nasty and it might get real dirty, but it's already been dirty. So we just need to clean it up a little bit. But United States isn't going anywhere. We're always going to be the big boy on the block. And that's just my belief.
Even Joe, if thank we have you. To pay $10 a gallon for gas, that might happen. It's not off the board yet.
Joe, thank you for having me on Legit Bad. I always have a good time when I hadn't really had a chance to talk to you since we met up in Salem.
I know it's been a bit, but thanks for coming on, dude. Appreciate it. And we'll definitely, I'm going to be scheduling again for, I think I'm scheduled up through July, but we'll have to get you back on in August and we'll collab then too. And, continue this and see where we're at in a couple months.
Yeah. Sketch me in. I'll be there.
Let's do it. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, everybody on audio, YouTube, and Rockfin. We will catch you all next time.
Thank you for listening to Legit Bad. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.